Welcome to the Lost and Found. Happy Easter, everyone out there. Resurrection Sunday is upon us. And it's been a journey. These past 40 days have truly been a journey. I'll probably share some further reflections at a later time. But it's been amazing. And the subject of today's message is just that. It's amazing. For this message, I'll be referencing the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And so it reads from the Christian Standard Bible. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.'" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stopped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away, amazed at what had happened. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. I don't know much about a Yeezus, but I do know Jesus. Even amidst the lyrics of a young Kanye West, I see the life and legacy of our Lord lifted and applied in the following lines. It's amazing. I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe in. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. My reign is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing. I see a crowd of those who claim to be believers, those who are non-believers, those in disbelief, those in need of relief, all gathered as the blood splattered just days ago. Now, on the first day of this week, that is to say, the third day since the crucifixion, there is no crowd now. There are no cries, only silence slicing the morning light, leaving a shadow of a doubt. Or better yet, some sisters who came prepared and equipped for the occasion with proper spices to honor the body of Christ. It is in the ancient tradition that, as an act of devotion and reverence, that after a body has been declared dead, spices are summoned and shouldered as a means to eliminate the odor. Meaning they, the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, were prepared to enter the tomb where Jesus was brought to be buried. They were prepared to enter into the fumes of his feces, the scent of his suffering, and quench the agonizing aroma. though when they arrived, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Imagine arriving at your house after a long days of work, and the door is wide open. You got some decisions to make. Some are gonna call the cops, some are gonna call them peoples, and somebody's gonna go in. So the text lets us know that they entered. The women entered. I wonder how many men would have proceeded. They came in, I imagine, amidst great confusion, fear, and worry. They came in careful in their approach, not too haste, but not too hesitant. They came in despite the possibility that someone else might be there too. They came in when they could have left. This would have been the time to retreat and regroup with the apostles. This would have been the time to call the men for help. But they stepped through because they were prepared. They weren't expectant of an easy entry into the tomb, but they must have prepared to persist in some way beyond any and all hurdles in hopes of reaching the body of their Lord. They came prepared with some spices. You know, when you gather the spices, it's time to cook. So they stepped through, and the text lets us know that they were perplexed because of the absence of the body of the Lord. Then the word says, suddenly, two men stood by them in dazzling clothes, and the women were terrified, bowing down to the ground. Now these weren't just any men. These weren't the men whom the women could have called. These weren't the men stuck sleeping at home while the women were out working. These weren't the men that Jesus walked with for years. These were angelic articulators sent to assure and remind them of what was spoken. The text reads, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." Some of us have been looking in the wrong places for things. Keep going back to dead relationships, looking for life. Keep going back to the same bogus restaurants, looking for a new taste. They said, "He is risen." See, back in the day before they had cell phones, folks used to walk up on their friend's house and knock on the door, and you had to ask, "Is little Jimmy at home?" Then somebody, auntie, would come by the door and say, "He ain't here. He's gone somewhere else. He's out." But Jesus isn't gone. Jesus isn't out. They said he is risen. We know where he's going. Jesus even left them with his will. He said, "I'm going to be with the Father, our Father." So the angels reminded them of all these things Jesus spoke. And verse 8 says, they remembered his words. This is where things get juicy. They leave the tomb and report all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary, and Joanna, the big three. Verse 11 says, but the words seemed like nonsense to them being the apostles and all the rest. They did not believe the women. It's amazing how when the word is coming from the mouth of the women, folks not trying to listen. It's amazing how you can have known someone for so long in one season, then can't recognize them in another. It's amazing how you can call yourself an apostle or disciple, but don't have the discernment to distinguish between a truth and a lie. It's amazing how one day you can be walking with royalty, VIP access everywhere you go, invitations to all the functions, then as soon as news breaks, you're back on the block. It's amazing how you can be so proximate to Jesus that he gives you the power to proclaim the kingdom of God, challenging disbelief. Now, when it comes time for you to believe, you don't believe. Yet you want to call folks out, cut folks, and cancel entire communities of people. Now, amidst the hypocritical holler, if we hover for a second, we can see how amazing this really is. Now, Joanna and Mary were perplexed because they were the first to see, yet they reported out what they discovered, and folks still remained in disbelief. So they gave a report of what they discovered, yet folks were in disbelief. So there are really two types of people we're dealing with here. There are those who see and those who hear about what is seen. Okay, y'all not following me, so I gotta rewind. Verse 9. Returning to the tomb, they reported all these things. See, some of y'all were distracted by the report and missed the message in the return. You got to understand where folks are coming from. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I remember. This is the account of the three women, not a single individual. Three vantage points, three different expectations and emotions at play. There is a sense of completeness from the number three. The number three is very biblically and spiritually significant. The number three represents resurrection. The number three represents harmony. The number three is a sign of completion. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Three. Jesus rose on the third day. So if you want to be amazed, you got to consider the context. Some of us are not wowed and wondrous because we are failing to look beyond the moment. Like the angel said, remember how he spoke to you. Remember how God spoke to your pain and healed you. Remember how you didn't have a job and now you're a manager. Remember when you were out fishing and couldn't catch anything. Then Jesus came along and the boat didn't even have the capacity for the blessing. You have to consider the context. The women were coming back from a space of realization. They ain't just wake up and say, I think he rose. Some of us are blinded by our brokenness. I ain't talked to my cousin and I ain't trying to hear from him. And now they're going to try to call me and wish me a happy birthday. I don't even want to talk to her. There are people who wish they could still call on a cousin or a loved one. I know you're hurt. I know the pain is very, very real. It's real. And it's deep. But don't let your brokenness prevent you from seeing possibility. If Jesus never stepped in, if the disciples didn't still see possibility in Jesus helping folks that they couldn't help, then a demon-possessed boy wouldn't have been healed. If Jesus didn't break bread, folks would have died from famine. Some people hear the word and aren't amazed because they think this is just history. They don't put themselves in the shoes of the people they're reading about, they're hearing about. But they're human just like us. But if you want to be amazed, you got to consider the context and how it applies today. Don't miss out on the word because of who's delivering it. If you can only be fed by one cook, then you won't live to eat many meals. But there's always one. Somebody said there's always one. Are you that one? The Bible lets us know that Peter, however, that's the beginning of the sentence. Peter, however, I can't even make my way through the rest of a sentence. I got to just stop there because it says Peter. However, y'all know Peter, formerly known as Simon, from the block. Now God calls him Cephas, meaning rock. Peter, the right-hand man, the one who was changed, the changed one, the agitator who was protective over his Lord. But this is also Peter who was petrified after realizing that he denied his Lord three times. I believe because of this complicated past, because of his hurt, he decided to get up. Because the verse reads, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Peter received knowledge he heard, but he pursued understanding. He needed to see himself. How did he pursue? The text says he ran. So we got to have urgency in our recovery process. Where did he run? To the source, to the tomb. He didn't run to see what other people were saying on social media. He ran to the place where he knew he could find out for himself. He was running, running, and running. But the Bible says he stopped, he looked, and he saw. He stopped, he looked, and he saw. Then something happened. He was amazed. He went amazed at what happened. See, Peter was not just amazed because of what he heard, but what he saw. See, because faith comes by hearing. But once you've heard and you've got the faith, you got to work it. Because faith without works is dead. So he got up and ran. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you've got to get up and get moving. Can anybody testify that when what you've heard comes together with what you've seen, there's some real harmony, there's some real healing that takes place? It's amazing. Has anybody tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord? Does anybody know for themselves that he has risen? Will you tell somebody? Peter was amazed because what had happened was the word of God was confirmed. So all that he had lived through, all that he had suffered, all that he had heard was confirmed. It all made sense. And somebody is listening right now. You've heard the word, but your prayer, your thirst is for it to be real to you. You need a personal savior. You need a Lord who has conquered every calamity you're gonna face. You need Jesus. Because some of us have been seated for too long. Some of us have been running to the wrong things. But would you just come home? It's amazing how God would have you right here. Wherever you are, wherever here is, to hear this message. I believe that if you're hearing this, that means that God wants to do a new thing through you. So I invite you into a life of amazement. And this message, this isn't just for those who have no relationship with Jesus, the quote-unquote lost. This is for those who still struggle. They have a relationship, but it's not as best as it can be. Those who want to strengthen, refine, and come closer to Jesus. That's what this is an opportunity for. Every day, the door remains open. So when we talk about the lost and found, it's we're all in a space where there's more. So this message, this invitation, is for us to all go deeper together. Because here's the thing, the apostles and all those who heard, though they didn't believe at first, eventually they believed. And that's somebody's testimony right now. You may not have believed when you came. When you started listening, you may not have believed. Years ago, you may not have believed, but something happened. Something happened very personal in your life. God showed up. Peace showed up. Healing showed up. And so the story ends in joy for the ones who worshiped him. The one who finds Jesus finds joy. Everlasting joy. And I don't just believe that we find Jesus. Jesus finds us. He calls us. And so if you're feeling, you're hearing that calling, I just ask that you would follow. I personally got tired of leading my own life. I was doing things a certain way, and it was working in some areas. But in other areas, it just wasn't working out with my own plans. And so to follow, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you allow him to be Lord over your life, when you give him control, when you say, I will follow, I submit myself unto you, I trust you. That's what that means. And you don't got to do it alone. But you have to step, and it's your decision. It's a choice, because we choose to be free. We choose to live a life aligned with Christ. But when you make this choice, you're no longer alone. I'm here to walk with you. This space, the lost and found, it's about being on this walk with Christ, this journey of life, and trying to figure it out. This is not just a podcast. This is real life, because there is real life suffering going on right now. There is real life pain that people are enduring, dealing with. And that's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to have life. And so he sent his son in Jesus so that we may have life more abundantly. And so when we say scripture tells us that Jesus is the way, I'm not trying to live my life anyway, but I'm trying to live it the way. The way that God planned it. I want to live in the light that God has created and be all that God created me to be. So on this Resurrection Sunday, I pray that our relationships may be anew. That conviction, courage, and our willingness may rise. That as we step into this second quarter of the year, that we move with a different energy and force behind us. That we move with God. That we walk with God. that we stop trying to do it alone. So we just lift our hands in submission and say, God, I thank you for leading my life, for giving me life, for sending Jesus as a savior just for me. I thank you for redeeming me. I thank you for forgiving me. God, I invite you into my life to blow my mind, to amaze me beyond what even I can see. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you find what you're looking for.